We got Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So this week
we spent some of our lunch breaks and
coming back home from work. It's in Fremont, so we had over an hour listening to several different preaching messages and devotionals and whatnot.
You know, I forgot my phone at home. Julie, do you have your phone? Can I use it for a second?
Anyways, so we were listening to a message by Brother Jim Van Gelderen, and he was preaching on an entirely different topic, but he read this passage here, and it was just something that instantly the Holy Spirit was just like, you need to pay attention to this. And I don't know about you, but during the week we have to prepare so many different lessons and whatnot. I feel like I'm constantly looking for content. And my brother-in-law, Matthew, he is out there in Kansas now, and it's the first time that he's been the senior pastor of a church, and he said, everywhere I'm going, I'm just constantly thinking of new content, new things to bring to the people, to encourage them, to help them grow, you know, to wake them up, or whatever it is. And well, so after I heard this preaching message, but specifically this verse, it's just been something that through the days, the last 3 days, it's just making more sense and more sense and more sense of the need. And so I spent a little time last night in devotions talking about this. And probably down the road, if I'm asked to preach again, I'll probably preach on this and put more of the information that I've gathered. And I hope this can be a blessing to us. I hope that it can stir us a little bit this morning. But let's go ahead and we'll read Ephesians. We'll read chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking truth, the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And it is verse 16 where we're going to spend a lot of our focus through this morning. But before we continue, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, I thank you for the day. And Lord, I just thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, thank you for that still small voice that we have the opportunity to respond to. And Lord, I just would ask this morning that you would open each of our hearts, that you would speak to us as only you can. Lord, that you would not allow us to easily forget those things that you would stir us about today. We do ask that, Lord, you would put a hedge of protection about the brethren. Lord, we ask for those many who are sick. Lord, lift them up. Give them healing. Lord, I know that for some, it seems like it has been a constant battle for many weeks and even months. Lord, for others, with the old age creeping in and the deterioration showing itself, it seems like an unending process of visiting doctors and surgeries and medical bills. And I just pray, God, that you would encourage their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness, and I thank you for the very small percentage of faithfulness that we have learned and that we could be here this morning. Lord, I pray for the many who are discouraged this morning, that they would renew their strength in you. Lord, that they would find those wings as eagles that you've prepared for them to cause them to rise above the conflicts and tribulations and trials and temptations that do constantly come across our path, but do not need to distract us from your will. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage their hearts. For our missionaries today around the world, different time frames, Lord, meet their need and put a hedge about them. Once again, God, we just ask that you rebuke the devil and his angels. Lord, I just thank you that you're omnipresent, Lord, that you're omnipotent, that you're omniscient, and Lord, that you're our God. We just thank you, praise you now for what you'll do, for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we consider this passage this morning, it says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's jump. Please hold your place. We'll be coming back here. But let's jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 12. And we're going to read 12 through 21. It says, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Or if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And it continues on there, but we get the idea. And what I want us to see as a result of that passage is that God refers to us as members of the body, specific parts, if you will. We talk about the eye, and we talk about the comparison with the hand, or the head and the hand, or the head and the foot, or the heart and the lungs, and there's just a host of comparisons that we can do, but every one of those things has a specific task to do. And that specific task is vitally important for the completion of the goal, the work, the expectation of that body. Now, jump back for a second with me to Ephesians chapter 4. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every what? What is joint? And that is the phrase that stuck out to me in just a really powerful way, whatever day it was, Wednesday or Thursday. The joint supplieth. So back a couple years ago, Andrew was playing football with the boys out back here. And they were playing tackle football. And we got the phone call that it looked like Andrew had dislocated his hip. I'm like, what? How is it even possible? Well, so, and it was the case. But as a result of that whole process, the thing that the doctor was the most concerned with was the transfer of blood. There is a transfer of blood through that hip bone. And that in and of itself is a miracle. It's an amazing thing that takes place, that God has caused a bone. I mean, I have butchered, I don't even know how many deer. And I have never seen a bone with a port to another bone passing that blood through there. And so we're talking about a design that only God could have created for that transmission of blood. But nonetheless, we're talking about the need for this verse, as it says, compacted, it says fitly joined together, And so as we talk about the very near proximity of all of these parts, these necessary parts, we find that there is another necessary part that so often is overlooked. And that joint, I believe God is just speaking to my heart about its relationships. The relationships between the parts. Not every part has the same opportunity to accomplish the same goals. The nose constantly gets to smell fresh air or bad air. And the gallbladder doesn't get to do that. The air around the gallbladder always stinks. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is shoot a deer in the guts and you will know what I'm talking about. The stomach always gets the end result of what goes through the mouth. The mouth gets to taste all the sweet things, all the bitter things, all the sour things. Most of the time, it gets to taste the things that it wants to taste. And the stomach just has to deal with whatever the mouth sends its way. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there is a relationship that is involved with the mouth and the stomach. And they are both working for the same goal, the same purpose, and that is to give strength to the body to accomplish the tasks. And the brain has to interject here once in a while and say, no, we can't eat that right now because it's too late. If we eat that right now and we lay down, the stomach is going to start telling us that there's too much acid, and the throat's going to say, if you don't do something quick, this is coming out. And there is a process. There is a relationship that is taking place, and everybody or every member becomes one of the same mind. We have to get up and we have to do something about this. So the feet aren't going to say in the middle of the night, no, I am too tired, you deal with it. No, the feet say, okay, the brain's saying this, if the stomach don't like this, so we're going to get up and we're going to walk. The relationship between all of the members of the body. So my main question for every one of us this morning is, how is your relationship with everyone of this body? That is the focus or the key in this passage of Ephesians chapter 4. We've already read here in 1 Corinthians that God likens us to the members of the body. In other words, you know, if you got the femur or you have the kidneys or the eyes or the ears or the nose or whatever, that's like the people. But the joining of them is the relationships between us. So there's a few different things that I've looked up in the recent days. There are parts of our body that there are two of, right? And probably about 3 weeks ago, I saw a picture of eyes that were blown up. I think it was 40 times. And so you had two eyeballs, they were the same person, they're the same color, and yet they were distinctly different, much like a snowflake. The pattern in one eye maybe had some more fingers where the color was, and the other one was more of a cloudy look. But at a distance, they're both brown eyes, they're both green eyes, they're both blue eyes. But up close, you see the differences. Now, I was telling my kids last night, I've got 2 ears, but they're not at the same height on my head, and I know that because of the way I have to adjust my glasses, and you probably notice the same thing. Or maybe your nose is not exactly centered with your eyes, and you're adjusting your nose pieces to accommodate that difference. And so, even though there are two parts that are the same, almost, there are still qualities that are different. And those qualities are represented even in our thumbs. Both thumbs are about the same length. They're about the same width. They both have fingerprints, and the fingerprints are what? Different. They're not the same. With this hand, when I've gone to the chiropractor and they've tested my strength in my hand, normally my left hand is stronger, which surprises them because I'm right-handed. But I tell them it's because in construction, I'm usually holding on to the gun with this one, and I'm holding material, whether it's pinching two things together or holding it up, and so my left hand has more strength. And they're both hands, and yet they don't have the same strength. They have the same capability. I can't write for nothing with my left hand. It is horrible. Or to paint, or I don't know, any of those artistic things, I'm no good with my left hand. To shoot a gun with my left hand, it's not going to be good. With my right hand, I'm calm. I'm like secure. Even though this one's stronger, I feel more security when I'm doing stuff with this hand. Well, the same could be said of the church, but the parts are needed on every hand, if you will. No pun intended. And the thing that we have to realize is the relationship that is involved. Even though the hands aren't directly connected, they're constantly having to work together. The coordination of things to accomplish the tasks before us. And so, the joints, what holds the joints together, let's talk about that for a second. Ligaments hold bones, tendons hold muscles. So, my brother-in-law Paul, several years ago, had to get his shoulder redone because the tendon was being frayed by some bone that was collapsing down on top of it. And so it literally, like with his movement, was cutting it. And he was able to catch it in time. The doctor said that if he would have waited much longer, it would have been too frayed and there would have been nothing that could have really done. And so he caught it in time. And that's a lesson to us, that our relationships sometimes get frayed. And if we do not address them, if we allow our hearts and our brains to imagine things and consider things while ever going to that person and reestablishing that firm relationship, there comes a point where there is no point of return. It's separated. It's damaged beyond repair. Now, I have another friend, Adam. He does drywall, but he was playing basketball, and in that whole game of basketball, he jumped for something, and when he did, just the movement severed his Achilles tendon. And what happened was the position that he was, when it snapped, it shot it all the way up into the center of his calf muscle. And the physician said, "I have never seen such a horrible tear or snap before." They had to literally dig it out of the inside of his calf because it's like a rubber band just went right up inside of there. So it got me to thinking about some things on the spiritual side. Paul frequently does things himself because he's strong. But if you look through Scripture, teamwork is taught everywhere. Teamwork is taught from Genesis 1:1 when God said, "Let us make man in our image." There was an agreement with a team, if you will, for our illustration's sake. And there's a host of examples, whether we see Christ choosing 12 and teaching them and training them and sending them out two by two. Teamwork is all throughout Scripture. Whether it's Gideon and the 30,000 reduced to 300, he used a team of 300 to work a mighty miracle in that with that host of Midian. And so, teamwork is throughout Scripture. And in this illustration with Paul, he needed teamwork because instead of carrying all the heavy load, he needed other people to grab a hold with him to keep his relationship right in his shoulder. Same thing with my friend Adam. You know, I've played a lot of basketball, and what is easy to lose in basketball is your temper. And so he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, the Bible tells us, right? Only by pride cometh contention, Proverbs 13:10. So that Achilles tendon wasn't just damaged, it was completely severed. And it took a long time to heal. He had surgery, and they had to put some synthetic material in there to hold the two parts together. And he was off his foot for a long time, and then he had to be extremely cautious. No ladders for Adam for months and months and months because the whole process of moving your foot up and down. So as I consider the need for these ligaments to hold bones together and these tendons to hold the muscles to the bones, how vitally important our relationship between each other is. In teamwork, there is no jealousy. There is no jealousy. So consider the very first and greatest commandment that Christ told that young man, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then the second one was what? To love your neighbor as yourself. That's a relationship. We're talking about relationships. There needed to be a solid, firm decided beforehand relationship. So, jealousy. Let's jump to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, the Bible says here, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? To them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." In other words, you're not going to sit there and talk to David, my little David, about trigonometry. It isn't going to work. It's not going to happen. I don't care if you have all the flow charts and everything. It's not going to enter. He's not to that point. But then, so as we grow physically, there's also that factor of maturity, the ability to comprehend. Now, probably maybe a couple weeks ago, I can't remember exactly, but a couple weeks ago, I took Charity with me to Grand Rapids, and I had to go to Lowe's and a couple different things, and she read a book, and she was reading the book all the way there and all the way back, basically. But then whatever day it was this week, she went with me again on a run, and she was asking me, she goes, "How long ago was that trip we took to Grand Rapids?" And I said, "I don't know. Week and a half, 2 weeks ago." She says, "Well, I'm on my third book since then. It's in a series." And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Wow, you've been doing a lot of reading." And she goes, "Yeah, you want me to tell you about it?" And for 25 minutes, I heard all of the details of that first book. Not the second and third, but the first book. And I was just having a conversation with Julie this morning about how their minds are comprehending such minute details, and they're not letting go of them. They're not forgetting about them. It's not just for the moment, but they're taking it with them. And I wonder how often we open the Word of God and maybe we see little lessons like this, but it's like we look at that mirror and we turn away and we forget what manner of man we were or are. And the need for us in this aspect to say, it's time for me not to be a child in any aspect. You know, it's like I had to tell my boys as they're growing up. Paul came to a point and he said, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." I kind of jokingly had to tell that to Matthew because of he's always getting hurt. And he's always getting hurt on the job, but he's also getting hurt at school and in the sports. And I'm just like, "Matt, it's time to put away the stuff you don't need to do because you keep getting hurt." But the idea is that it's the maturity, it's the spirituality that we need to be concerned about. We can't receive information that is vitally important to the success of the body of the church if we're still walking around concerned about materialism. And so I realize that maybe materialism isn't our thing this morning, but maybe it's something else that is. Let's jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. The Bible says here, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." And so you talk about malice, and there is a connection between malice and jealousy. But teamwork does not permit jealousy, because that joint is holding them together with an express purpose to flow, to work together, to accomplish a bigger task. It isn't so that the femur gets the fame. It's not so that the femur gets the fame, even though it's the strongest, longest, whatever bone in your body. Some people would say it's their cranium. But it's not about one part getting the fame. The mouth is normally the one that gets to do all the talking, but then once in a while your stomach gets a chance to do some talking, doesn't it? And it's not normally good, and it normally comes at the wrong time, and it's embarrassing. And so what we see in Scripture then is that there are these relationships, but everybody needs to understand their boundaries. The brain does not have liberty because it holds all the information to bleed over into the lungs or to ooze down into the stomach. The bowels do not have the say with all to say, "You know what, I'm tired of being in darkness. I want to swap places with the eyes so I get a little sunshine." And so these are ridiculous illustrations, but it's ridiculous when we don't take care of our relationships, because we are ultimately impacting the functionality of the body of Christ. That's what it boils down to. The kidneys, there's two of them, right? And you have two eyes. Well, why can't they swap places? It doesn't work that way. God has a specific place and a specific task for each one of these things to do. And the same is true about us. But there are boundaries, and the relationships keep the boundary lines distinct. But when we do not have good, sound relationships, boundaries get messy. They get misunderstood. And so not only do you have ligaments and tendons that hold your bones and muscles in place, but then there's also those same types of things that hold internal organs in place. And one of the interesting ones that I read about was that it's called peritoneum, something like that. And it says it is serous, which means wet. And it serves as a lubricant to allow frictionless movement of the organs. It also said that we have a need for a certain level of fat in our bodies around our organs to cushion them. So in other words, it gave the illustration on this medical site of driving down the road and hitting bumps so that your stomach didn't hit your bladder, for example, or your lungs to smack your stomach. So this lubricant and this fat is there to keep everything sliding and functioning correctly and yet cushioned. And so we see that in the church as well. You have people like Brother Bob Adams, or in other words, a Barnabas, a great encourager or a consoler, somebody who is just keeping those relationships with the lubricant that is needed, or the reminder of their importance and their value and their place, etc. And we see that every person has a different functionality, but how important those relationships are, because if you get rubbed the wrong way long enough, what happens? You get a callus. And when you get a callus, there's no more feeling. You see where I'm going with that? And when we don't maintain those relationships fluidly and keeping the lubricant there, spiritually speaking, all of a sudden there's a callus and we don't care. We simply do not care what is going on with that person or that family or that situation. And so these relationships are extremely important in the work of God. Let's jump over here to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. The Bible says here, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." And that's the phrase I want us to focus on. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Tied very tightly together with grace is humility. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be destroyed. And if we do not have humility, we will never reach or receive the grace of God. It is virtually impossible for us to have a good relationship with some people, because there are some people that do not want to have a good relationship, and so you can't force them. But that's not for us to have an excuse to say, well, okay, there's no hope, there's no reason, there's no purpose. And as we consider these passages, I want to read a little devotional I read this morning. It really surprised me. It's probably something that the Johnsons already know because of Isaac, but it said, "There's a remarkable study that revealed the following. Among those surveyed, nearly 99% indicated that they were happy with their lives. 97% liked who they are. 96% liked how they look. And nearly 99% expressed love for their families. And 97% liked their brothers and sisters. This extraordinary level of happiness and satisfaction with life was not found among those of a certain race or gender, nor among those who were wealthier or more intelligent than average. It was found among people with Down syndrome." That's quite a testimony. And yet, all their motor skills are not the same as like our motor skills, or even amongst themselves. But yet what we found was relationships through all of these are tied in very tightly, their love and their relationships. And what they love, at least from my little bit of research, seeing Isaac, They love it when people are faithful to them. What bone, joint, muscle, heart, organ, whatever, doesn't appreciate faithfulness in their relationship? I mean, how would your heart appreciate a shot of Coca-Cola every once in a while? It doesn't mix with blood very well. There's a whole lot of things we could give as silly illustrations to do with that. Relationships are so important in the church for the body to function correctly. Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says here, 2:19, and not holding the head, from which all the body of by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. We got to understand our responsibility and our relationships for there to be increase. There cannot be increase if the relationships are not right and the boundaries are not understood. The head here is talking about Christ, from which all the body by joints, we are divinely placed by the head. And to not maintain those relationships is to constantly complain in the face of the head of our Savior. This isn't what I want. This isn't where I want to be. This isn't what I want to do. And so on, the complaints and whining continues. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, it says this: For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. That is the relationship. That is the relationship that we need, the teamwork that is needed in the church to see increase. Increase in wisdom, maturity, numbers, whatever. To see the increase, we've got to focus on the relationships. And those relationships ultimately start by having a faithful relationship with our Savior. If we're hit and missing in our devotions, there is no possible way on earth we are going to have faithful relationships with our people in our church. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to know how to deal with drama. We're not going to know how to deal with climate change in the church, because we're not even sure where God wants us to be. So let's consider this truth. Study it. Spend time studying this out. And maybe at a later date, I'll include some more information that I have down here. But joints equal relationships. How are our joints doing? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for the day. And thank you, Lord, for these lessons you're teaching me. And Lord, I just pray that it would stir others here, Lord, to consider this if they have not. And Lord, that ultimately you would be the one that be honored and glorified. Lord, as that one verse talked about, the love that will be seen as a result of the body perfectly fitted together and functioning under that perfect man. But you get the glory, Lord. You are the only one that could accomplish such a task. And so, Lord, help us in these areas. Lord, we know that our tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And Lord, so often it's the tongue that starts to fray the relationships. But we know the tongue speaks of what is an abundance in our hearts. And our hearts have an abundance of what the brain has been imagining. And so God, help us with these areas of our lives, Lord, that you would ultimately be in control of those thoughts. And we'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.